Well, Joanna has been doing some coughing again, but I told Charlie, you know, we're awful forgetful critters, and when we talked to Karen Hurd before, she told us what to do when you have a tickle in your throat to stop it, and that's sip on hot water, as hot as you can get. And after she'd been coughing and coughing, I remembered it. You know, it's like finally remembered it, and so she'd been doing that, and it's really working. So otherwise, she wasn't getting much sleep. But anyway, when we enter into heaven and leave this, what is called a time frame, time zone, whatever, time ceases to exist. So I thought there won't be any clocks in the wall because they wouldn't do any good. And so we enter into something that I'm thinking, because Jesus said the kingdom is within me, is within us, and the kingdom, he came to present the kingdom, that there's a possibility that he walked in a timeless frame even while he was on earth, I mean, within himself. And the Bible says that he was in the bosom of the Father, which makes it different than anything I'm familiar with. I can't even tell you what that means. I don't have a clue. And Glenn called me last night about had a question, and anyway, it got me thinking about some other things. And anyway, I didn't really have an answer to the question, but it did spark some other thoughts, you know. And Jesus, even though the Bible calls him a man, it says a man who was approved by God, that God gave life to, as he has given to, as the Father had life in himself, so he gave the Son to have life in himself. So we know that he wasn't born with life in himself. And I don't even understand what that means, but he was not the same as we are in the fact that he was without sin. That separated him. And it also, he was different than us in the sense that the Bible says that all are sinners and all have come short of the glory of God, and there's none righteous, no, not one, with the exception being Jesus. And he said, who can expose sin? That's not the word he used. Who can, sin in me? Because you can't, because there was no sin. And so God could say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And so in a way, he lived in a different dimension, but at the same time, he was a man. And so he did things that other men didn't do. He walked on the water. But he said, greater things than these that I do, you're going to do, because I go to the Father. You're going to do greater things than this. And so we have seen down through the years some phenomenal things that God did. And we've seen some things that were imitations that the devil did. But he was not the same as we are. So much so, because God glorified him. Being in a sin, if we were in a sinless state, we'd get glorified too. But we're not. Nobody is. Nobody has been. Nobody will be, you know, other than being justified through Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ. And so here we are. When he was born, the Bible says that, you know, that God said, let the angels of God worship him. No other time, no other place has this ever happened. Nobody, God has never told anybody to worship anybody except him, you know. And so this is his Son, in whom he is well pleased, and who did all things right, and who fulfilled the law, who did, you know, he did all of these things. And so it puts him in a different position, but he still is classified repeatedly in the Bible as a man. And this is the thing that I begin to see as you listen and listen and listen to the scriptures. It becomes obvious that the man Christ Jesus was a man, is a man, died as a man, rose as a man, is coming back as a man. And so at what point and how did we make something else out of him? How did he become something else? Well, and I'm not saying that answers the question that Glenn had, but as I got thinking about it, I thought, you know, what happens then as soon as we enter into eternity and there is no time? What's that like? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, hasn't entered into the heart of men things God has prepared for them to love him. But when there's no time, how do you operate? What do? You don't have an answer yet either. I know you don't. I mean, I was going to say hyperventilate. That's not what I meant. You can think about it, which will cause hyperventilation. But we don't know what that's going to be like. When God told the message, the title of the message I want to bring tonight is to prophesy to the wind, because that's in Ezekiel 37. And when God spoke to Ezekiel and told him to prophesy to the dry bones, which the Bible says were very dry, he did not tell him to prophesy the private interpretations of the churches. He said, tell them to hear, to prophesy. All it meant was to preach to them, hear the word of the Lord. And that is meaning a lot different to me than it did for the last 15 years. It's gradually becoming a different picture. And I had an amazing thing happen, and I shared it with a couple of people, but this last couple of weeks over Ezekiel 37. Because when I was praying some 15 years ago and asking God to fill me with the Holy Spirit, I didn't realize that what I was doing was actually what I should have been doing. That's all I knew to do. Because the Bible says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? We're supposed to be asking to be filled with the Spirit. And I was asking. And I have experienced a number of times where I was filled with the Spirit and I saw the results of it, and I just wanted another happening. And so what God did, and I saw it in Ezekiel 37, and what he did is he circumvented my approach to this thing, and instead of filling me with the Spirit, he didn't say it was wrong to pray what I was praying. He just said, if you really want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. And he made this understanding, he made me to understand that the only place that I could find him was in what he said. Not what she said about what he said, or not what he said about what he said, but what God actually said. Somehow I had to understand what he said. And so slowly I was made to realize, it didn't take very long, a couple weeks at the most, that what I needed to do was to fill myself with this word day and night. And especially my old age position helped me, because I didn't have a lot of time left to do what I needed to do. But little did I understand when that had. I didn't hardly understand anything about what needed to be done. Little did I understand that the scriptures are full of admonitions, exhortations to do what I was being told to do. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. That's the way Psalm starts out. But his delight is in the word of God. And on this word does he meditate day and night. Where does the blessing come from? We don't think about that, do we? It's just, oh, blessed is a man. Oh, wait a minute. Who does the blessing if a man does that? It comes from God. You know what I'm saying? God blesses the man that will do that. And so then we see all these other scriptures, if you continue in my word, if you obey me, If you do what I say, well, you got to hear it to do what he said. If you don't know what he said, you can't do what he said. And so we got all these scriptures, and now I am seeing the effects of this thing. And I know that what I prayed was right. My understanding was not so. Is that a word? It is now, huh? My understanding was off base because I was under the impression that I had a pretty good handle on the truth and that all I needed to do was to promote it. You know what I'm saying? I just needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that I could promote the truth that I already had. And God didn't even slap me in the face for saying that. But what he was telling me was, before you can do this, and that's what I realized this last couple of weeks, before you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is what you need, because you can't do anything without it, when you receive the Holy Spirit, then you will receive the power to become witnesses. I wanted to tell my loved ones, you know what? You can't tell them until you're filled with the Holy Spirit, because you've got to have that before you have the power to become witnesses. Is that right? Acts 1:8. And so the being filled with the Spirit was the right thing. My approach to it was wrong. So God said, if you want these bones to live, Ezekiel, here's what you do. You prophesy to them. You speak to them. You tell them. Hear the word of God. And that's the thing that I have been looking at for this last 15 years. It's like the word of God is not any more the same as it used to be to me. Now it has become solely this. It used to have additions and subtractions and all kinds of things that I was taught over the years by the church system that, well, this, you've got to change this, and this isn't quite right, and you've got to be careful with this these scriptures because these were added. And I'm thinking, you would think the God who has kept this thing intact for 6,000 years and brought it forth, you would think that he would have been smart enough, wouldn't you, to keep this thing right for us? And I'm teasing. I didn't bring any of these translations forth. I'm just reading them. I'm just listening to them. How did we get these things the way that they are over this long period of time, and why do we still have the same thing? You know what? I can sense, I can feel the working of God's Spirit to keep this thing the way He wanted it for my sake and your sake and whoever's sake. And what the church has done is ignore it. It is the most ignored book that exists within the church system. How do you like that? Would that get me in hot water? It is. It is the most ignored of any of the churches or books that are in the church system. And we used to have our book libraries, and we used to have, you know, we got rid of them because it's like Smith Wigglesworth said, there's only one book you need, and that's right here. Don't take what somebody else said about it. Take what the Holy Spirit says about it. And the Bible says, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's in Ephesians 6:17. The sword of the Spirit. You know what this is? This is the sword that the Holy Spirit uses. And the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Does that tell us anything? Hebrews 4:12. Sharper than any two-edged sword. You can't find anything as sharp as the Word of God. Dividing asunder even the bones from the marrow. And the marrow is pretty well hidden inside of the bone. Revealing the intents of the heart. It's like, what is this thing? And I'm a witness of the fact that it exposes the intents of the heart. It's a convicting piece of literature, because it has the backing of God himself. Because this is what he wrote. This is what he brought forth through the prophets. In the times past, in the former days, it tells us in Hebrews, God spoke to the fathers through the prophets. But God did the speaking. In these last days, God has spoken to us through his Son. Who did the speaking? So Jesus says, I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. Who did the speaking? You follow what I'm saying? Where did who did what? And I'm coming to another real major revelation that I should have had years ago. God really wants to be in charge. To as many as are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. If you're being led by somebody, that somebody is in charge. Did you follow me? He's the one that wants to give the directions. He wants to tell you what to do. He wants you to follow. Anyway, I'll stop while I'm ahead.
Surprise, I'm usually not up here. And not right away. I'm your what if gal. Okay? Spent most of my life worrying about what if. What is going to happen? What's this? What's that? In my early 20s, during one of my times in the hospital, I had my pastor come in and said, I'm so afraid to die. Well, tell me, what am I supposed to look for? What is going to happen? I was petrified. And he's going, well, I have cancer victims that aren't afraid. I don't know what to tell you. And I'm like, okay, so that made me more afraid. And I wasn't saved. And it wasn't until I became saved and found out that I can ask all the what ifs. And what is time going to be like? What is this going to be like? And God has just been doing a work in me that I couldn't have done it myself. And this is the glory to him, because I may still wake up in the night going, what if I stop breathing? What if, this is me. This is how I was raised. I was my DNA or whatever. And God's going, I got it. And that's the whole thing about time and everything. What's going to happen when we get to heaven? You know what? We're not really going to care. If I had a hotline right now to heaven, I could ask Sue Berger and say, what are you doing? And she'll go, I'm sorry, I'm like really having a good time. So I don't really care what you're doing, but love you guys, bye. And that would be it. We, and I speak for myself, need to keep hanging on to the tools that God gave us so long ago. And one of them is deliverance. If you got a problem, get prayer. Don't sit around and wait till it becomes this huge thing. And trust me, I wait till it becomes this huge thing. And then it becomes a huger thing. And then it becomes, and then all the doubts and all the fears and everything. God gave us an instruction manual. If we want to use it, it's there. If we don't, he loves us enough to let us be on our own. So I'm saying, let's not worry. I'm saying that for myself. I'm still going to worry. God knows. He's like, I know, Susan, I still love you. But let's take advantage of the things. You're afraid of something. You got questions about something. Let's start praying for each other. Let's start doing the tools that God gave us. They're not gone. We may have stepped back, but the tools are still there. And I think he's asking us to maybe take a page back and say, hey, remember all the things I gave you? So I'm just saying that's what's happening. So, amen.
I didn't wait to see if anybody was coming up. I had something happen the other day, and we're talking to Charlie and Jean, and Jean was telling about something that happened to her. And she, I don't know how she hurt her shoulder or what was it? What, you heard it?
There's something to it, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of pain.
And it was painful, and she was trying to do stuff around the house, and she couldn't. And anyway, and Susan prayed for her, and she says that immediately it was healed, and she was doing what, you know, what needed to be done. And she was just really thankful that God had healed her. And years ago, before, you know, it's been maybe 20 years. It's been a long time. I had a series of dreams when I was down in Kentucky. And I, every so often in one of the dreams, I saw Susan laying hands on somebody and see, and they were healed. And the Bible tells us in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it said, do all have the gift of healing? Suggesting that maybe everybody doesn't. Do all have the gift of tongues? Well, the speaking in tongues is a gift for everybody, but it's a different thing. It's a personal tongue besides the gift of tongues. And it says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. So we know that there's a two specific things that were spoken about. Well, anyway, when Jean said that the other day, I thought, you know, what we need to do is pray for Susan. And because God is going to start doing some supernatural things in this church. We have seen them. Most of you have seen supernatural things that have taken place in this church. And God wants to confirm, if we will allow him to bring us into the truth, God will confirm truth with signs following.
Lord, yes.
As a matter of fact, it is a necessity, so that men's faith will rest in the power of God and not in the wisdom of men.
Amen.
It's a necessity. And yet, of course, there's the imitations. We know that. There's a, you know, demonic counterparts and so forth. But we need to pray, because at some point here, we're going to be seeing that. And I thought of my wife. I mean, she's doing a lot better when I left this morning, after we started keep heating up the hot water. And of course, she was, said that by the time I got it to her, it was so hot she couldn't drink it. But when she did start sipping on it, it took the cough away. So anyway, but we need to do that.
God is good.
Amen.
All the time. All the time, God is good. Maybe a little. First off, I'm going to start out and say that I violently disagree with something Keith brought a moment ago. God does not want to be in charge. God is in charge. We all just have to get on that page. Sooner we get on that page,
I'll take that,
the better off we'll be. I'm going to be a little vague, but those of you who've been kind of following Corky's little saga knows that it's been a pretty interesting several months regarding my employment. And there's been difficulties along the way. And my testimony is that God keeps removing my obstacles. There are people who aren't exactly happy that I'm back in town, don't like the new sheriff, have been vocal about it. God keeps getting rid of those people. And so my testimony is that if you just let God do it, God will do it. not as fast as you want them to. Sometimes patience is still a virtue, but God is good.
Amen.
I also want to make a comment. Susan forgot to mention something that happened to her yesterday, but it goes along with prayer. We were out and about, and she was in a store, and ran into someone from WIB who knew me but didn't know what had happened, and kind of, what's going on, blah, blah, blah. Susan brings him up to speed, and then says, Susan's talking, you know. He looks down and notices she's got her brace on, and he says, well, what's going on there? So she kind of explains the thing, and she says, you know, I've got this problem, and da-da-da, one thing leads to another. She says, but, you know, I'm just waiting on God to grow some cartilage, and I won't need to have any surgery. And he says, come here. And they go off to the side, and he immediately started praying for her. And the point is that people know, we know, that's what we need to do. And the more that we just step in that and walk in that and have faith in that, God will meet our needs. I don't know, sometimes it's, you know, things are going well and it's easier to shout the praises of the Lord from the mountaintops than it is from the valleys. And I've been in the valleys, and I can just tell you that the Word will sustain you through those valleys. And most often, it'll be in a way that you don't understand or recognize. I'm really blessed when Keith gets up and says, you know, this is what my prayer was, and this is what God's answer was. And God's answer was not what I was wanting. This is what I wanted. And God said, but this is what you need. And then he said, and it'll just take you a little while. You know, years. Remember, God cares not about time. It'll just take you a while to realize, hey, that is what I needed. Because God is in charge. I just, every day, something new happens and we see it and we just revel in the glory of our God, the Father. And if we just get out of the way and let Him do it, He will do it. And we just have to be open to the fact that we can't guess at how it's going to end. It's just going to end in His glory.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I just want to say, Brother, it's going to be a nice echo in the valley.
Good to see you back, Bonnie. I think I see a little color in your face. Bonnie was in Florida. So, anyway. And Charlotte's granddaughter, Keisha, is here. You have to say hi to her. I had a nice time with her baby here this morning during the music service. Real sweet little baby. I wanted to comment, you know, a theme has been that Jesus is a man. But we've been saying, but he was different from us, you know. And let me say this, he was different from us, or is different from us. But let's not make too big a deal of that. You know what I mean? Let's not, because we are to follow. The Word tells us that we are to follow in His steps. You know, he was the last Adam. And we are descendants of Adam. So we also ought to be something like descendants of him. The second Adam. You know, he's in the line, if you will. If we'll take it. I think when you are born, you are a descendant of Adam. When you're born again, you're a descendant of the second Adam.
Yeah, that's good.
You know. He is our older brother. So, I mean, you know, naturally we'd say, well, yeah, you're way different from us. But but we are to, spiritually, we're to grab hold of the fact that, hey, no, same substance, same. The same thing is going on, and we can't grab a hold of that naturally. We can't. But let's grab a hold of it spiritually.
Yes.
That he is our older brother, we are his descendant. So.
I have to leave a little early today, so going to my grandson Jude's birthday. Couple things. It says that we will bear the image. We bear the image of the man of dust, came out of the dust. But it says we also bear the image of the heavenly man.
Yes.
So, you know, that's getting pretty close, I'd say. When Keith mentioned, you know, the word being the sword of the spirit that can, you know, go into the marrow and everything of the bones. Well, in Revelations, I was noticed this the other day, and it kind of caught me, and I thought, wow, that's powerful. It says in Revelations 19. Now I saw heaven open, behold a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, out of his mouth, that with it he should strike the nations. Sounds like the word of God to me. And he himself will rule with the rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And then it says it again in verse 21. And it's, let's see, the beast, well, I'll go back to 20. The beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. That's pretty powerful.
Yes, it is.
So, if we speak this word of God, things are going to happen. And then I just had a few settings of scripture here that kind of just put a perspective on things a little bit. Romans 15. And I'm going to read right from the beginning down to verse 8. We then who are strong ought to bear the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good and leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort, isn't that nice, the comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. And here's kind of the scripture that stood out a little. That you may, with one mind and one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the fathers. That's kind of, I like that. And I think Sunday night we were talking a little bit, and I was sitting there, and this thought came to me, and it was, do you know, to me, now this is my thought, okay, but it was, you know, not one part of your intelligence has anything to do with getting you eternal life. Not one part of our intelligence will get us eternal life. So right there, we don't have to be concerned about who's smarter than who or whatever. You know? And in 1 Corinthians 1:20, it says, and we've heard some of this, but I'm just going to read through the gist of it, kind of get you in the, you know, the mindset. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. So that's where some of my thought was coming from, because, you know, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise, according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And then that's when Paul says, I come to you not with excellence of speech. So, you know what? I kind of feel like, I'm real sure I fall into foolish things of the world, weak thing of the world, base thing of the world, you know? But glory, because that's the ones God looks to. Because generally, we who are in that place, we know we need help. We know we need healing, you know? So, I'm going to keep saying it so that, you know, people grab a hold of this. Does not matter who you are. You just need to listen and read the Word of God and ask Him for His Spirit to teach you. And it doesn't matter then how smart you are. It doesn't matter what position. Nothing of that stature matters. He can change your life. I think I was talking with the wife of the guy I take lessons from. And I said, you know, God is so good, I found out, at bringing conviction that'll change you, but he's so gentle with it. For the most part, I mean, you know, some of us need a 2x4 once in a while, but he's so good about it. He presents it to you, and then he gives you time. You know, nothing has to be boom, which I've learned, which I always thought it had to be boom, you know. It's a sweetness that just says how much he loves you, how much he cares for you, how much patience he has for you to bring this change in your life, to make you a better person, and to get you to rely on him. You know, it's getting to be a wonderful thing. I just to know that I have this God who is my Father, who knows me, who loves me, who cares for me, and, you know, it just makes a difference. It makes a difference. So, God bless you.
Kind of in that vein, you know, there are people that do some kind of scholarly analysis of the Bible, and they conclude that, oh, this portion of the book of Isaiah had to have been written by a different person than the other. And then there's this part here. The language is different, so it was just an injection later on. You know, they go through this analysis of it. They don't exactly say what the point of all this, telling us all this is, but it's pretty obvious that it's to discredit. It's to discredit the Bible. Let me say, boy, I just don't care. I don't care whether there was some addition later on or whatever. The question, hey, is it inspired by the Holy Spirit or not? You know? If it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, it could be a bunch of monkeys at a typewriter that did it. You know, I don't care. So whether or not it was, you know, added at some later date, when they're, you know, blah, 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 blah. But it is so characteristic of, you know, of man to do the thing that Ken was reading for here, trying to set up some system that would make themselves wiser, smarter than God, you know. And God just lets them fall into that trap. You know, you feel all this superior, things, and you put yourself in some position that is where you can just discredit, Oh, God, let's see you. Okay, you're way, way smarter than I am. Okay, you have it your way for a while. but it's just the way of it. It's just the way of it. And there is such a smug kind of confidence that you catch in that this part was written by someone, you know, later on, you know. Just how do they know for doing an analysis of the language? You know, that's just pure, you know, it's a little more than guesswork is all that is. And then, like I say, it doesn't make any difference. It just doesn't make a lick of difference. Mm-hmm.
Well, Charlie left me with an image that I'll have for a long time. A bunch of monkeys on typewriters. Years ago, I was teasing Rodney. We're talking about stuff like evolution and, you know, descending from apes and whatever. And I said, well, maybe some of our ancestors hung by their tails. And he said, well, I know that some of them hung by their necks. And anyway, that's not saying much for our ancestors, is it? But anyway, I was thinking, you know, this vision that Twilight had years ago that shows, it showed, you know, and I stood at the back door with a sword. And I was whacking people with a sword, you know. It didn't make any sense. And then as we started listening to the scriptures and we saw that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And God brought me to a place where I don't really want anything except this. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the Word of God. God blesses the man whose delight is in the Word of God. God will bless that man whose delight is in the Word of God, and on this Word does he meditate day and night. God's going to bless that person. Do you follow me? But the mercy of God is what has allowed me to get the insight to do that. Except for God's mercy and God's grace, I have wanted over the years to love the Word of God more than food, like Smith Wigglesworth, I think it was him. And I remember Don Burnett, you know, early in the stages of the community chapel, I remember him in tears, said, and wanted us to pray for him and with him that he would love the Word of God more than food itself. And I don't know what happened. I don't know how he did with that. But we're coming to a place where that is actually happening. It's beginning to happen. And I can't take any credit. None. It's except for the mercy and the grace of God, I wouldn't be experiencing this, and neither would you. And Twyla saw something in that vision, in which one of these days I want to talk to her about it. I haven't never talked to her about it. But she saw people peering through and looking and seeing a white room, a bright white room inside, and they wanted to get into it, but they didn't know how, or they were kind of afraid to inquire too much. And I, the other day, a few weeks ago, I began to see what is happening. We are beginning to enter into a white room, a place where the Word of God is becoming the life of our church. I mean, maybe you don't understand it. If you do, good. If you don't let what I said stumble you. I was thinking about some of you here that have been coming in spite of the fact that we're just a handful of people. And I thought, why do you come? You know, why does Bonnie come? And why does, you know, why does any of us come? Why is Glenn and Barb, you know, why are you here? And then, you know what, I realized something. Except the Lord bring you in, you don't come. Except God reveal it, you don't get it revealed. No man can receive. Remember what John the Baptist said? No man can receive anything except God give it to him. It comes from above. So if you start to get some revelation, if you start to understand this major, 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 major truth, that God is a man, you will be hated by lots of people, but you'll be loved by God. And so that's the decision we have to make. Because, you know, the thing about it that has amazed me is the overwhelming support from the scriptures for the humanity of Christ. Overwhelming. You know what the Bible is? It's an additive besides being truth. It adds weight to truth. You listen to it and listen to it and listen to it and listen to it. It adds more and more weight to whatever truth God reveals. So the plain scripture in 1 Timothy 2:5 that said there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, you get it. There's a plain scripture. And then you look and here's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of scriptures that add support to that scripture. But you don't spot it right away because they're spiritually discerned. It takes a while before they start coming out. Right now, I'm in the hundreds, and I'm suspecting that there's thousands of support scriptures that tell us that, you know, He had to be a man in order to do what God could do through him. And when you start understanding that, you got to understand it from the Scriptures. You can't understand it just because I'm up here saying it. You got to see it from the Scriptures, why he is a man, why he had to be a man, why he still, you know what I mean? By the disobedience of one man, many were made sinners. By the obedience of the second man, the Adam, many have become righteous. That's what it says. It's not one God obeying another God. It's a man obeying the God of creation. Anyway, I will say no more. But we want to... I thought it was later than it is. I got a lot of time yet.
Felt that I had to fill a little bit here. And actually, Keith touched on something that's near and dear to my heart. It was, you know, why do we come? You know, and there's not many people and all that. And, you know, I even expressed that I myself, who really have been pretty good about not being bothered by numbers, a couple of weeks ago was feeling a little vulnerable about that. And so I've been kind of thinking on that. And I can't speak for anybody else but me. But I come to hear the truth of the Word expressed every Sunday from you. Which is good because I don't get the same privileges as others who have voices speaking to them and giving them really good ideas. And I don't tend to have visions, probably because I'm stiff-necked. And so God is using all of you to get to me and bring me where I need to be. I love the fact that when we come together, we talk about God and we talk about our hearts and we talk about salvation and we don't talk about traditions and rituals and church. I don't want to talk about church. I want to talk about God. So I come because through you, God's touching my heart. And I need it. I need it. You know, Keith was talking about an incredibly important truth that we've gotten because we're in the Word about Jesus being a man. And I'm convinced there are many, 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 many more incredible truths that we will get if we keep staying in the Word. This is the one we have now. It's a foundational one. It's one we have to have because it'll open other things and God will be able to let us see and more clearly, you know, what God is and what we need to do to be more like him and to be saved. I don't know how it's done in other places, and I don't know how God is going to do it in other ways. I just know that this format is how God's doing it for me because of you. And so when someone says, why do you come when there's not many? Doesn't need to be a lot for a truth to be revealed. It only needs one open heart and one willingness to listen to the Word, or one willing to listen to what God is doing to someone else who has that open heart and who is seeking God. And that's all we need.
Amen. Come on. you want to come up? Glenn's got a little trace of what I have, which is you don't know if you're going to stand up or fall.
I may not have heard you right either when you made your statement. And I'm not sure, but I thought when you were talking up here, you said God was a man. And that's what I thought.
That's what he said, right? He wasn't mistaken.
Right. And I didn't know if anybody else caught that or not.
I might have.
And that's what. And I, sometimes I don't hear things right either, but that's why I asked Corky if he heard it.
Well, what you do is straighten me out if I say something goofy.
I figured out what you did. I heard what he heard, but I knew what you meant.
Huh. Yeah, but it was being on tape, you know.
Right.
Yeah, that's why we have the kind of a ministry we do, because, and straighten me out. If I say something goofy, straighten it out, because it is going out and people are listening to it. And yeah, it's the Bible says, and he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And you know what? It's important that we hear with ears that can hear.
Yes, amen.
And it doesn't say those that have ears to listen. There's a difference. And we can listen and not hear. And I've done that for years. You know what I mean? We can listen and not hear. But if we have ears to hear, then God will give us the thing to hear. And that, I guess that's the difference in it. Any other anything? If you do, come on up. Otherwise, we want to pray with Keisha's daughter, Catherine. And anyway, Keisha is Charlotte's granddaughter, and so little Catherine would have been Myrtle's great granddaughter. Is that right? Yeah. Let's come up and we'll have them up. We want to dedicate her to the Lord. And you know what, Keisha? I haven't seen you for a while, but I am so thankful. What a blessing it is to have you come and want to dedicate your little one to the Lord. What a blessing. And it shows something that is missing in lots and lots of people, lots of young people especially. God bless you.